Welcome to the Teaming Against Trauma podcast, brought to you by Dorchester Children's Advocacy Center. My name's Brooke Anderson, and I'm so grateful that you're here with us. We'll be talking about the way child advocacy professionals fight together against trauma and the effects that it has on children. My hope is that you'll gain a better understanding of the way the Child Advocacy Center model works and leave feeling inspired with ways and action steps that you can use to better understand trauma and prevent child abuse. This work truly takes a team to do. So now I'm considering you a part of ours. Welcome to the team. Now let's jump in. Welcome to the Summer of Survivors mini-series. In this episode, you're going to hear from one of the three courageous individuals who have chosen to share about their life's journey and the redemption and healing that they've experienced in the midst of growing up with childhood trauma. I've asked these individuals to not give too much detail about the abuse itself and to focus on how they've grown through it, what they've learned along the way, and how they want to use their voice to encourage others, because that is what makes their stories amazing. However, I do want to warn you that we may get into some discussions that have the potential to make you uncomfortable, especially if you're a survivor of childhood trauma yourself. So please know that my heart is truly to only recognize the darkness so that we can see and give appreciation for the hope and light that they've experienced even more. That being said, I want you to take care of yourself. So as you need, please proceed accordingly. At the end, we'll give resources for survivors and also include them in the show notes. And know that without a doubt, we'll always be on your team. So now let's jump in to the Summer of Survivors. Hi, Arthenius. I'm so glad that you're here with us tonight. I'm super excited to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So you're finishing off our last episode of the Summer of Survivors mini series that has been really awesome, where we've gotten to hear from different survivors of childhood trauma, share their stories. And like we've talked about in the past two episodes, that we really just ask them to share what their stories are and the darkness, and then showing how much more the light has been able to shine through them. And when I met you at the SC Victim Service Network award ceremony, I was like, oh my gosh, your light just shines so brightly. And it's so obvious that you are just, yeah, such a light in the world, and that your trauma has really just encouraged that light to shine brighter. So really, really grateful to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. Well, if we could just start out, if you could tell us a little bit about kind of where your life is at now, what you're into. I know you just started a new job, but you have different things going on, I think, too. And then if you can share a fun fact about yourself with that.
Okay. All right. So, yes, you're right. I just started a new job yesterday, to be exact. And so I'm excited about this new endeavor. Something else that's kind of new. I'm still claiming to be a newlywed, even though we just celebrated 1 year last weekend. So I'm excited about that, because that is really huge that I was able to get married. And I married a wonderful guy, very supportive. So I'm still celebrating that. I feel like we're still in our honeymoon phase, as people would say. So one fun fact about me, I'm pretty sure if you get to know me, or when you get to know me and my personality, I'm such a big kid. Like, I am such a big kid. And I think it's because a part of me, and I won't get too much into it because I know we'll talk about it later, but a part of me, as far as when I was traumatized as a young girl, is like, it took me years to find that little girl again. And it's like, once I did, it's like, she's just a part of me now. So I'm just this bubbly person, full of personality. I love engaging with kids too. And so I just enjoy just being a big kid.
Oh my gosh. That's an awesome fun fact. I really, really love that. Wow. I love it. So good. So yeah, that's really what we're going to jump into tonight, just what your story is and the ways that you found healing throughout it. So I kind of just want to jump in and ask whatever you want to share about, like, a little bit of background to get us started on what your childhood was like growing up and things that you want to share, parts that you feel are important to explain your full story.
Okay. So for starters, I was born and raised in a small town in South Carolina called Hartsville. So if you're familiar with it, a smaller town in the PD area, was in a very close-knit family, faith-based, went to church all of the time. I know sometimes we joke about it now as adults, my brothers and I, but, you know, at the same time, I'm grateful for the upbringing that we did have. And I credit all of that covering to what helped me survive today. But like I said, I grew up in a very close-knit family and very faith-based. We were, you know, like I said, in the church all the time. But other than that, yes, I had friends. I was still able to play a little bit of sports. I did volleyball. Most people don't know that. I played volleyball a couple of years. And I enjoyed, you know, what the typical things that a child does, like going to the beach, hanging out with family, going to cookouts and all of that good stuff. But I was molested at the age of 6 by my uncle. And so, you know, a lot of times when I'm going around talking and sharing my story, I tell people, like, it's usually the people who we know, whether they're family members or whether they're friends of the family, is the ones that, you know, we're familiar with them. And that's what makes it easier for victims to trust the perpetrators, because you're like, look, hey, you're a friend of the family. So you know me, you know my family, you know mom, you know dad. So it's okay. And the same thing with relatives. And so, you know, throughout my childhood, I experienced the sexual abuse from my uncle, but I never said anything. Like, at the age of 6, I knew something was wrong, but didn't know how to explain it because I'm 6 years old and can't really wrap my mind around what's really going on. And so I knew it didn't feel good and I knew that it was wrong, but I still did not say anything. And every child is different. Some children show signs and some don't. So I was one who did not show any signs. So my parents had no idea. My brothers, they had no idea. And with me not saying anything, it's like life just kind of went on as normal. And so I've always been a pleasant child. I excelled in school. So none of that was bothering me at the time, at least that I can remember now. And it was like a memory that I was just trying to push to the back of my mind. Like, I just try to forget about it, not knowing that years later it would come up. And so, like I said, I didn't display any signs. So no one just, they never knew. So it wasn't until as I got older into my adulthood, it took that long for the trauma to actually start to affect my life. Because like I said, I went through school, honor student, I went to college, graduated, but it was, you know, after college and into my adult years, that's when everything hit me. And I had no idea that it was all connected to what happened to me as a child. You know, I was promiscuous. I was taking prescription drugs because I was becoming suicidal. I was depressed because I didn't know why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. I was engaging in activities that I had no business doing. And again, had no idea that it was connected to my trauma as a child, because number one, I didn't say anything, so I wasn't able to receive help. So that's why it's so important, even as victims and survivors, to seek help and to have that support that's going to push you to get that help. So around 2011, I've reached a breaking point, and I was talking with my mentor. And so my mentor asked me, I don't know what made them ask that, but he asked, he's like, hey, has anyone ever touched you as a child? Because, you know, I was confiding, letting them know, like, this is going on. I don't know why I'm feeling like this. I don't know why my actions are like this. And so when he asked me that, I was like, oh, man, like, yeah, but why do you ask? Because, again, I'm not putting two together. I'm like, why do you ask? He's like, I think you may need to go talk to someone. And well, first he said, you need to tell your family. You need to tell your parents what's going on, first of all, and tell them what happened. I was like, I can't do that because for so long, I didn't want to be blamed. I didn't want to be asked, like, then why did you wait so long to say something? which we hear that now when a lot of victims come forward years later, is that, oh, that cringing question, like, why did you wait so long? So I didn't want to be questioned. I didn't want to be blamed. I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed. I felt like it was my fault. And all those thoughts started coming up even from, you know, when I was a child. I'm like, why didn't I scream? Why didn't I say no? Why didn't I say stop? But my body just froze, and that's just how I reacted. So I did finally tell my parents and my family. It took a couple of years, but I finally did it in 2013. 20 years ago, to be exact. So I did it in 2013, and they were speechless. But I was so grateful. Not once did they blame me. Not once did they question me. All they did was embrace me and told me, hey, whatever you need, we're here for you. If you want to go to counseling, hey, we'll get you there. We'll push you, whatever you need. So they have been so supportive since day one, which a lot of victims, they lack that family support. And it hurts me whenever I hear victims say like their family has either cast them aside or pushed them aside or blamed them or won't even talk to them. And I'm like, how can y'all do this to your own flesh and blood? And so, like I said, they have been supportive since day one. So in 2013, after I shared my story, I did go to counseling. I went to group therapy. And I also started volunteering at our local rape crisis center, which is PD Coalition. So they will always have a special place in my heart. They were the first place that I went to. And it was also the first place I went to, you know, give back and to help out because they helped me tremendously.
Is that in Columbia?
It's actually in Florence, but they have several locations, but they're just in the PD area. So they're like in Hartsville, Florence, and Marion, and just, I can't remember how many there are, but yes, they've been around for about, I want to say 30 plus years. Yeah, 30 plus years. So I did some volunteer work there in at the end of the year, I was like, okay, what's next? I was like, I need something else because I'm like, I'm feeling good. I'm healing. I'm on this great healing journey. And I was like, I feel like there's more I need to do. And so I remember going like to the library and going to the bookstore and looking up different, you know, trying to find resources on sexual abuse. And the one thing that bothered me the most was there were so many books on just, you know, the educational part of it, which is fine. Or you would see just different information on it and different sources that you can just look out for. But I never saw too many books that focus on the healing side of it. Cause I'm like, okay, we've got this. We know the conversation needs to be held. We know the educational part. We know the statistics. We know that it's happening. But what about on the other side? I was like, I always felt like it needs to be, you know, more focused on the healing side because that's what victims need to see. And that's what other survivors need to see. They need to see what healing looks like and what it looks like to experience like true freedom, like to be free from your past and free from all the trauma. Not to say that, you know, every day is going to be like that, but at least you don't have to allow what happened to you to kind of dictate your destiny or dictate who are, who you can become. And so I was like, okay, there's something I need to do. And that's when I started One Touch Transformation in 2014. And so I was like, okay, this is what I can do. We can still talk about it because of course we still need to talk about it, have the conversation, but let's also encourage and empower these victims and show them like, hey, you can make it out to the other side. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Like it's not going to be like this forever. And so, and that's where, you know, and that's how I birthed One Touch Transformation. And it's been a great journey. Almost 10 years ago that I started it. Yes, a lot has changed because life changes and things happen, but it has been a great journey since I started One Touch Transformation.
Yeah. And so tell me a little bit more about One Touch. So that is a nonprofit. Is right. That correct? That it's you started. So yeah, just tell me more kind of what's like your mission there. Okay. And how do you see it going forward?
Okay. So it is a nonprofit organization and our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors. So when we first started, of course, I was younger almost 10 years ago. So life was a little different. So I was like, like real, like headstrong. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this happen. At the time I was working at Francis Marion, which is where I graduated from. So I was working there and I was like, okay, and working my nonprofit. But I was like, man, I really want to do this full time. So 2 years later, I ended up quitting my job just so that I can do it full time, because I'm like, this is something that I want to grow. It's something I was very passionate about it. I was passionate about helping other victims and survivors. And even though, you know, I'm not a counselor or anything like that, but I was like, I've got the experience of, you know, of what I've went through. So at least I can still share my story with someone. And at the same time, we were there so we can help support other rape crisis centers. So it's like, hey, what do you need us to do? Wherever we can fit in, if you need us as a support system, whatever, if you have an event, we'll show up, I'll talk, share my story. So it was, you know, that type of organization. And for the first 2 years, that's what we did. We went out to different meetings, just telling people about the organization. Like, look, we're here to just spread the healing part of it. Like I was saying, just spread healing and let people know that they're not alone. And of course, that it is happening, and just creating the conversation for one. And so we did that for about, you know, I'll say the first 2 years. And then in 2016, 2 years later, that's when we started our mentoring program, which I really enjoyed that time. Oh my gosh, and I miss it so much. So our mentoring program was for young girls ages 6 to 15, and it was called the Butterfly Effect. And so we had our mentors and our mentees, and we would meet with them once a week for 12 weeks, and we would have, you know, just real life conversations. We talked about good touch and bad touch. We talked about them having boundaries. We talked about them, the importance of friends and health, what a healthy relationship looks like. I mean, it was like very engaging. It was hands-on. We, like I said, real life conversations that we wish women would have had with us when we were younger. And we let them know, like, hey, this is a safe place. Whatever you say here, it stays here. And a lot of the parents gave us great feedback, and they enjoyed dropping them off. And then sometimes some of the girls had siblings, like brothers. And it was like, well, I want to go.
I was going to say, yeah. So was it just girls? Was it just teenage girls?
Yeah, it was just girls. So some of their brothers did feel, they felt left out. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I said, but hopefully one day we could start one up for the boys. I'm like, yeah. And so we did that up until COVID came. And yeah, prior to COVID, I'm so glad we had a chance to do it, but we were able to have it was like a winter retreat for all of the girls. So we had three locations. So we had girls in Florence, girls in Darlington, and girls in Hartsville. And so we met in Hartsville like on Mondays, Darlington on Tuesday, and Florence on Wednesdays. And so it was so cool bringing them all together for the retreat. And we took them to the beach, and they enjoyed themselves. For some of them, it was their first time at the beach. So I was like, because like a lot of them came from, you know, impoverished areas. And so we would have some people who actually sponsor these girls for the program, because we didn't charge, like, it was maybe like 20. I think we were charging like $25, and that was just to cover just little supplies. But we had a lot of people who actually just wanted to sponsor girls so they can experience the program. And I think that probably was my favorite part of my organization, just having that mentoring program, because I felt like it was another way that we can touch their lives so that they can be aware, you know, of things that happen as they get older. And I'm hoping and praying that these girls remember something as they get older. And one of our first mentees, I think she graduated, she graduated this year. And so I was like, oh my goodness, that really made me feel proud. Like, I was like, oh, I had a hand in her life at one point. So,
yeah. So were these girls, how were they hearing about you? And were they victims of trauma, or were they just an open pool of girls?
No, they weren't. And that used to be one of the questions that parents would ask, was like, do they have to be a survivor or a victim? I was like, oh no, this is like more so of a preventative tool. So in them, and everything was word of mouth. And of course, just social media. And It was awesome. It was an awesome time. Yeah.
That's great. Well, and when you're like doing good things and it seems like they were enjoying it so much, people just tell other people, they're like, hey, come to this with me, you know?
Yes. And that's exactly what happened. And that's how I was able to grow. So I'm thankful that we were able to do that. And my mentors that volunteered their time, like they didn't have to, but they enjoyed it. And they came back each semester that we did it, because we would do a fall semester and then we would do a spring semester. And so and they did it and volunteered their time. And some of them, they even, you know, they pitched in wherever they need to, as far as like monetary, like they did. It was just great. It was a great time.
That is really great. Where now are you at with it currently? And are you planning on moving forward with it too? Or?
So like I said, we paused when COVID happened and we ended up, I don't want to say ending it because I don't want it to be over. So like I said, we paused and we ended that particular semester. The last group of girls that we had, we ended it virtually. And we were thinking about trying to start it up again that following year virtually, but it was just so different. It wasn't the same. It wasn't hands-on. The interaction was, it wasn't there for him. It wasn't a lot of engaging going on, because it's like they're on camera with school all day and then trying to have them come on camera for this, and it wasn't going to work. So we paused. And so now fast forward 3 years later, it's hard to believe how fast time went by. It's like the COVID years, don't remember anything.
Right. Just like, yeah, even or did they even happen? I don't know.
Yeah. And so I met with my board a couple of months ago for my nonprofit, and I told them, I was like, okay, look, next year is going to be 10 years. So I was like, we've got to do something. I know we haven't met in a while, and I know things were paused for a while, but we have to do something for 10 years because it's a milestone. And no, it's my baby. Like I'm proud of it.
And so yeah.
Every year we would normally have what we call the Little Black Dress event, and we would always do it in December. And so we had one, I think the same year COVID happened, but we did it virtually because people had already paid their money and it was for a scholarship. And so most people, it was like, hey, don't worry about it. Keep the money so we can still donate to the school. So it's like, okay, cool. So I was so happy about that. People were still supportive, even though we couldn't meet. So we still had the event, but it was virtually. We had a guest speaker, as we always do at the events. And what we do with the money is actually donated to one of the there's several scholarships that's a part of the school that I graduated from, Francis Marion. And so there was a coalition that I was a part of while I was there. And so we donate part of the funds there. So that was the purpose of the whole, you know. Okay. But we gave it the theme Little Black Dress, and it was playing off of like My Little Black Dress Doesn't Mean Yes. So still keeping into the whole theme of sexual assault awareness. And so when I met with my board, I'm like, hey, why not we, you know, let's go ahead and jumpstart by having, let's do the Little Black Dress this year. It can be a jumpstart to our celebration of 10 years for next year. And so awesome. That's where we are now. Haven't talked anymore as far as like if we're going to do the mentoring program back. Because like I said, life happens. I got married. I moved. So I'm not in Florence anymore. Yeah. I'm in Columbia. But most of my work, well, all of my work was in Florence. So it's like I've got to do a whole lot of revamping. But it's like I still want to keep the organization going. So whenever it is time for me to return to it full time, then, hey, we can pick right back up. But that's where we are now, jumpstarting at the end of the year with our Little Black Dress event. And then next year, our 10-year celebration. And so we'll go from there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. You got to take it one step at a time with those things. So is that Little Black Dress event, is that open to all people?
Yes. So it's usually a ticketed event, and everyone comes dressed in their black. Ladies can wear their you can wear a cocktail black dress or however you want to wear your black dress, and men come in their black tie suit. So yeah, I think people have fun just dressing up for it more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's so fun. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, do you have a website or do you have a Facebook page or something that I could link so that people can look into it more?
Yeah, so we are on Facebook. I think when everything paused, like I had stopped everything, took everything down because I was like, okay, we're not working right now. So let's just pause with everything. But I did keep the Facebook page running. So it's right under One Touch Transformation.
One Touch Transformation. Okay, great. I'll put that in the show notes so then anyone listening can go and look you up and see, because that's open to all. You don't have to live in Florence or Columbia or anywhere.
Because I've had friends from Charleston to come out to the event a couple of times. So, yes.
Yeah. I know. I'm like thinking in my mind, I'm like, could I make it? I'm going to pay attention
on
the
Saturday night. We try to aim for the first Saturday night because we know that all the holiday parties are happening afterwards. So as soon as I get that date secured in the place, I can shoot you that information.
Yeah, please do. And we can put it out even on our social media or something
cool,
like that.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all about that, about your background and also about all of your passion. And I just love it. I think that there's so much in you and so much, you have so much to share. And I'm sure that, yeah, you just make so many young girls feel like they can have authority and they have the power to say yes and no and make choices for themselves. Right. And that's really what they need. So I'm really grateful for that. I want to ask you, you described some of your healing journey and that you went to therapy and your mentor maybe was a help in getting you started on that. Throughout that kind of journey that you've been on, and I know it's a consistent one too, what are some like people, places, and like coping skills that you've really been able to harness and utilize in your healing?
So I did a lot of writing during that time, and it was just simple journaling about my day, my emotions, how I was feeling, because I was never the type of person, and I'm still not all the way there. I'm not the type of person who likes to share my feelings or share my emotions. So it took a while, but I can write it down better than I can tell you.
Me too. I totally relate to that. I'm like, I'll start writing and I'll be like, wow, I have so many emotions that like I wasn't even aware of that I had.
Yeah. So that was me. So I remember 1 month, it was like, I told myself, like, you know what, I'm just going to write every single day how I feel. And I did that. And I would go back and look at it and see, I was like, man, I was really going through that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it's really interesting. Like when you go back and look at what you've written, it's like, man, and you can tell like how far you've come.
Yeah, no, truly. Yeah.
So I definitely did a lot of writing. Of course, I love singing. So music was always a go-to. I've written so many songs, but have not done anything with them. Like maybe just a couple. Mm-hmm. I haven't done anything with them, but I wrote so many songs back then. But writing, singing, listening to music, of course. And I love bubble baths.
Yeah. Hey, that's awesome.
Yes, it's just something about like I still take them to this day. Like it's just something about bubble baths. And then my favorite place to visit was always the beach. Like anytime I was having a bad day, or all I needed to do was just ride down to the beach and just walk out there. It would calm me all the time. So
yeah,
I love doing that. I also use that time to really, you know, date myself, because during that time I wasn't dating anyone. I didn't need to date anyone, to be honest. Yeah. So I did use that time to kind of get to know myself and date myself. I would go to the movies by myself. I would go out to eat by myself and just try to, you know, learn to love myself, because I had disliked myself for so long and harmed myself, blamed myself. And so I had to learn how to love myself again. So I did spend a lot of time just in isolation, and it wasn't to the point I wasn't depressed with the isolation, but I just needed time away from people and time away from things, and just to kind of spend time with God while I was journaling, read my Bible. So all like the loneliness and the isolation, it wasn't a bad thing in that case. And so a lot of times people, they feel like when survivors are, you know, trying to heal or on their healing journey, sometimes they don't want to be bothered. They just need to be themselves and try to figure out, you know, who they really are. And mm-hmm. and that's what I did, because I took a break from people. I took a break from a lot of things. I took a break from church, mm-hmm. even though yeah. people may not understand that, but I did. I'm like, I needed that time. And it wasn't that I was trying to run away from God or push him away, but it was like, okay, I just need time to myself. And yeah. it helped. It really did help. And yeah. of course, the counseling and therapy, it helped too, because it helped me to get in touch with my feelings, for one. And then, like I said, it took me a while to still even verbalize my feelings with my therapist, because I'm like, because I would always shut down when people ask me questions and ask me about how I feel. So I'm like, I don't want to share how I feel. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's opening up a big bag of worms. I don't know if I can do that.
Yes, but eventually I did somewhat get there. I'm not 100% there, but I'm better.
Yeah, right. That's really good to hear. I love all of those things. When you say you went to therapy, do you know if it was trauma focused, like, or what type of therapy it was?
It was trauma focused. And my therapist, she specialized in victims of sexual abuse. And so, and she was a Christian. So you get to, like, I love that. Like, when people are looking for a therapist or a counselor, I try to tell them, like, look, you can specify what you want. Like, mm-hmm. you have options. And it's almost like you're trying to find or have that a good relationship, or trying to find that right partner that's going to fit you. Because let me tell you, I didn't find the right person on the first try. It took me.
Right.
Three tries. mm-hmm. It took me three tries, and it was like immediately I knew if that person was for me or not. It's like, I tried. Mm-hmm. Like, no, this isn't the one. Mm-hmm. And so I actually ended up going out of town from where I live. It took me going away to find the perfect therapist for me, and that worked.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so did you meet virtually, or would you travel?
Well, at that time I was in person. So
okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, what would your kind of encouragement to someone maybe like looking to seek out therapy then mm-hmm. now be?
Yeah, I would definitely say find someone who's fitting for you. Like, you don't have to go with the first person that is offered to you, because this is someone that you're going to be talking to and opening up to. So you have to do what works for you. And like I said, there are options, because even now, you know, because I'm currently looking for someone now again, because I'm like, okay, it's been some years. So it's like, let me just get back in it just in case. I like how they had all the different, mm-hmm. I mean, it's several options that you can choose from, because it asks you, do you want someone who's religious, someone who's non-religious, or someone's Christian based? Do you want a male? Do you want a female? Someone young, someone older. So, and like you said, is it trauma focused, or, you know, there are options. So I think it's better now than when it was before, when people was like, oh, you need to go see a counselor. But what if they don't understand what I went through and what I'm going through? What if they never had any, you know, clients who may have been sexually abused? They might deal with domestic violence, or they might deal with mm-hmm. self-esteem issues. So, yeah. So definitely find someone who fits for you and your situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good advice. I want to get to too about your, you know, I know think different things you've talked about. It's obvious this isn't your first time talking about this topic and everything. It's mm-hmm. obviously a passion of yours, and you're really, really gifted in being able to talk to people about it. And so I'm grateful for all the ways that you've used and are using your voice to do that. But, can you tell us a little bit about the radio talk show that you participate in, so anyone can maybe listen into that? I think it happens on a regular basis. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's Blog Talk Radio. That's the name of the actual company. And underneath that, I guess it's kind of umbrella, there's a organization. It's a Christian-based organization. It's called Purpose Kingdom Network. So that's the name of our actual show. And so I broadcast every other Tuesday. So I just came off of a show last night. So I will be back on, not this coming Tuesday, but next Tuesday. I was trying to look up that next date. Yeah. So, but I can let you know, and you can put that Well, but I'll be airing again the Tuesday after next. And so the way that I was able to become a part of Purpose Kingdom Network, I was actually a guest on one of the shows. Someone was doing a segment on sexual abuse. And I'm like, okay, finally, someone's talking about it. And I'm like, and this is a Christian platform. I'm like, that's awesome. And so this guy invited me out to share the story over the radio. And I was like, yes, definitely. And so I was able to share my story, and the lady who's over the radio show, she was so impressed. She was like, you know what? She's like, you can take my segment. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
She's like, normally I'm on every other Tuesday, but she was like, but you need to talk. Aww. She's like, you need to share your story. You need to get this. I'm like, oh, wow. It's like, I've never done this before. As far as like, you know, a blog talk and on the radio consistently. Right. But I was like, okay. And so I remember when I first started, I had to type out everything.
Yeah.
At least I like I did. Cause I'm like, what if I forget something? Or what if I don't have enough time? Or what if I leave too much space? Because it was like, do not have any dead space. Whatever you do, no dead space. I'm like,
oh, geez, no stress, but you have to keep talking.
I'm telling you, and this is for a whole hour. So I'm like, I have never talked for a whole hour. And I'm like, but you want me to come up here and talk for an hour? And I was like, on sexual abuse. I'm like, I'm going to do this. But lo and behold, I did figure it out. So it became more of like, I'll call it an empowerment session. Yeah. Because like I said, I don't just focus on sexual abuse. It's like, it's more so healing. And like you said, what it looks like and how others can experience it. And, you know, and sometimes it's motivation even for those who have not experienced sexual abuse. Like I said, it's encouragement, it's empowerment, and just It's been a fun journey with that too. I can't remember what year I started. I want to say 2019. Okay. I started it. But yeah, and it's like now I don't type out anything.
You just go for it. Yeah. How cool is that?
I get my topic and I get my scriptures to go along with it. And I'm like, okay, I know what I'm going to talk about. And I just tie it in all together. And I'm like, I do it like it's nothing.
That's awesome. I'm like,
it's hard to believe that I used to stress so much about this when I first started it. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And now it's like, oh, it's not.
Yeah. See, that's growth though. That's what we all want to experience. And we have to go through that like part where it feels so, you know, just tedious and hard and like, what am I doing? But then you'll never get to the part that you're at now if you don't go through that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely right.
Yes. That's really cool. So how can people listen in to that?
So I'll usually post the link on my personal page. It's always going to be blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom Network. But I usually, like I said, I'll put the link up every Tuesday, and it's usually at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So they can listen two ways. They can listen online, like click the link, or there's a number that they can call in and listen that way, which is kind of cool because if you want to, you know, talk to me, comment, say anything and weigh in on whatever I'm saying, you can, you know, press the number one and then you're on the show with me. Oh, so neat. That's cool.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. So you can see who's calling in and then you accept it.
I normally don't see who's calling in. There's this other guy who's working like the board. And so he'll text me when I'm talking. He's like, hey, you have a caller. And so I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, hey, looks like I have a caller. Let's bring them on.
Neat. Oh my gosh. I love that. Yes. That's super cool. Well, yeah, please give me that information and we'll get that out too. I'd love to listen in sometime soon.
Another cool thing about that, it's archived. So every show that I've ever done is still saved up there. And so sometimes, like, if I'm not able to do a show, like if something just comes up, I just go back and say, hey, can you play episode number, you know, 1043, and just send that to them. But every show that I've done, like, I think it's pretty cool because I can go back and listen to see, like, what was I talking about this night? Or if I need to share it with anyone else, I could always send them that link. So excuse me. That's one cool thing about the blog talk is that the archive of all of my shows.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Super, super cool. So last thing I kind of just want to ask you, if you were to be speaking directly to a survivor, what is one thing that you would definitely want to make sure they heard loud and clear?
Okay. I would definitely let them know that every journey is different. Your healing is not going to look the same as the next person. All of our healing journeys are different. You matter. And just know that you are not alone. It won't be this way always. Mm-hmm. And healing is possible. It is possible. And I want you to experience true freedom. That is my desire. Like for all survivors, I want them to experience true freedom.
That's so good. I love that. Yes. And I feel like I heard that throughout everything that you were saying too. Like you are living out that mission in so many different avenues and ways. So good to put it just clear, plain and clear into words. Is there anything else that you would like to share? Any like resources that you know about? Or if you can't think of them off the top of your head, I can definitely include them in the show notes too. But any last kind of words or anything?
Yeah, my go-to website has always been RAINN.org, RAINN.org, Rape Abuse Access National Network. It's probably, to me, it is the best website to go to as far as victims, survivors, and supporting survivors, supporting victims. So if you're trying to help out your friend or family member, it has so much information up there. Like, I love the fact that they give like do's and don't's, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's one of the best resources that's available for everyone. And it even gives you, it'll point you in a direction of like local rape crisis centers. If you put in your zip code, it'll pop up all the ones that are nearby. Also, it seemed like it's one more thing. Oh, and if you want to chat with someone, you can do that instead of talking to them over the phone. So that is, I feel like they have it all. Everything is there on that website. So that was RAINN.org.
RAINN.org, RAINN. I think I've checked out. Yeah, I've definitely used some of their resources and things like that. I'll have to check it out a little bit further too.
Yes. Awesome. And they update it pretty well, pretty frequently, because it's been a while. Well, I went back on it a couple of months ago and it had been a while, maybe a year and a half or two. And so when I went back and I was like, okay, they're update, like they're actually updating it and making sure they're keeping up with time. Cause even with, you know, COVID and everything, they're staying on top of it. And I believe, I think they even posted that they had more calls during that time, which is, you know, not surprising at all. Mm-hmm. But RAINN was able to help them. And I think I tried out one of their chat systems, because it's not a chat room, but it's like you chat and let, like you send a message saying you want to talk to someone or chat with someone, and they let you know like how many people are ahead of you, or they'll let you know when they are available. So like I said, they're updating pretty frequently, and I like how they're keeping up with today's time. So it's
important. Mm-hmm. That's great. Awesome. I love that resource. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the last thing I want to ask you to do, which I'm really excited for, I feel like I got a little snippet of it at the award ceremony when I met you, and definitely caught, I think, everyone's attention. But you've written a couple songs, but there's one song specifically that you would like to share tonight. And I would love for you to get the chance to do that to end us off.
Yes, of course. So the name of the song is called Butterfly. And I love butterflies just simply because of the fact that they go through change and, you know, transformation to become a butterfly, because we know that they're not born as a butterfly. So they start off, you know, from the larva to the caterpillar, go through the chrysalis stage, and, you know, then become a butterfly. And so we're all the same way. As a survivor, I can think back through all the changes that I've gone through and the transformation that took place in my life. And so I always, you know, try to leave even this with everyone that I talk to. It's like that initial touch, it transformed my life at some point, but in the end, it transformed my life for the better, because I wouldn't be who I am today had that not happened. And yes, I hate that it did have to happen, but I've learned, and I know this, it takes growth to say this, I've learned to accept what God allowed to happen and what I went through. But I didn't use it to, you know, kind of dictate going down a bad road, or use that negative experience for, you know, something bad or evil. But I was able to transform my life and use it for good and for better, and to help other people and to share my story, and, you know, for him to get the glory, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's like, my story is for his glory, and I always, you know, feel like my story is for someone else. And I just try to keep all of that in mind. And so with the butterfly and the song that I wrote, it was like, hey, I know that I'm the butterfly that God created me to be. And despite what that little girl went through, you know, I'm still standing today. And yeah. I'm excited to share my story whenever I get the chance, because I know what it felt like. I know what it was like to be back there. So yeah, definitely took a lot of growing and healing. And, you know, of course it didn't happen overnight, but it took some changes, and I'm just grateful.
Yes, I am too. I'm so grateful. And I'm sure many other people are as well. Your life is really admirable, and there's a lot we can glean from it. So thank you.
You're welcome, and I'll be happy to share it.
Yes. Can't wait.
Part of me, and in exchange you gave me a mind full of negativity. I can't explain the way I feel some days. Sometimes I'm happy, I'm sad, full of joy, and sometimes I'm filled with so much rage. But I've learned to control and where to send my energy. It's in the words I express, in my songs, in my poems, in every form of my creativity. No longer ashamed of the little girl inside of me, no. 'Cause she is the butterfly she was created to be. Is the butterfly she was created to be. All my pain, I gotta get it out of me. As I write, as I sing, as I speak, it's all a part of my own therapy. I'm not ashamed, now I'm able to express all of my scars I tried to cover before I knew the beauty that I possess. But I've learned to control and where to send my energy. It's in the words I express, in my songs, in my poems, in every form of my creativity. And no longer ashamed of the little girl inside of me. She is the butterfly she was created to be. Oh, oh, oh. Yes, she is the butterfly she was created to be. Now everybody goes through a change. Sometimes the change can bring on pain, but you gotta go.
Oh my goodness, that was so good. I got chills so many times through that. That is so beautiful. Oh my goodness. I feel like you're just singing it from your heart. I love it. Thank you so much. That was such a gift to end our time. Well, Arthenius, it has been awesome. I hope that this isn't the end of our relationship and just, yeah, the end of your time working with us to some degree from DCAC. We are really grateful for stories of survivors like you and just think that your voice is so powerful and needed and just doing so much good in the world. So truly from my heart, and I know from all of DCAC, thank you so, so very much.
Oh, thank you again. And thank you for what you guys are doing as well, because I appreciate it. And I'm sure every survivor appreciated and all the families that you all are helping. So keep up the great work, and hopefully we can, you know, collaborate on something. I don't care.
Yep. Who knows? Who knows what's in store, right? Maybe I'll be making my way down to the Little Broth dress event. Awesome. Okay, well, enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening in on my conversation with Arthenius Jackson. She is truly incredible and an inspiration to hear from her story. Also, what a great way to finish off our Summer of Survivors mini-series. This is the last episode of the mini-series, but more will be coming. We have more education and resources and connection and interviews prepared just for you. So please reach out and let me know if there's anything specifically that you would like to hear more of, and I would be happy to get that information on the podcast. So join us back here next month as we continue on teaming against trauma together.